Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Good to be back. Good to be back with you, Packers fans worldwide. That's what we do, even when I'm on vacation, as I was last week. Still, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, as it were, keeping track of NFL news, Packers news, what have you. But always good to take a break, get away from it. I think more people should do that. More NFL / Packers fans should do that, especially this time of year as we stretch into the real offseason. The summer's here. Guys are away doing pickleball, apparently, if you're Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. But good time to dive into other endeavors, you know, whatever else you are interested in. This is the perfect time, you know, even if that's just, I don't know, seeing your family, you know. That's the running joke, but it is a great time to get away from football for a little bit, as I did last week, and just lose yourself, man. I've been watching the World Cup, and it's been great. And actually, I know the Germany-Paraguay match is going on right now. Phenomenal match earlier this afternoon between Japan and Brazil. I love the World Cup. You guys know that. But we are 1 month away, as of today, 1 month away from the Packers kicking off training camp. That's right. Cannot wait. I'm jonesing. I got to admit, being away from work for a little while does get me, you know, the itch, so to speak. I've watched a few Packers games over the weekend, games from last season. And, you know, just waiting for training camp to roll around. Like I said, 1 month from today. And it did get me thinking. It did get me wondering about what camp might look like. I know we talked a little bit about it last week or 2 weeks ago when training camp dates were announced. We all know not a ton of open dates to begin with, and we all know those first four practices in particular have to be in essentially shirts and t-shirts with, you know, helmets, whatever. But it's basically an extension of OTAs and minicamp, right? They don't get to put the pads on until practice five, I believe it is, due to the CBA. But I do wonder if the addition of Jonathan Gannon as defensive coordinator, maybe he leans into LaFleur a little bit and says, hey, can we get maybe just a few more live periods? And I know during Matt LaFleur's time in Green Bay, he has had a couple of occasions where the young guys, whether it's rookies, second-year players, late into practice or the end of practice, they have a few live tackling periods, right? And I don't think Matt LaFleur is ever going to lean into something like we've seen in some other NFL cities like Baltimore, or in the past with Baltimore with Harbaugh, though that will be here in New York now, where they have lots of live like sessions, right? Lots of live tackling periods. The Detroit Lions have done a little bit of that under Dan Campbell. And hell, keeping in the division last summer, I don't know what it'll be like this year, but you know, the Bears had a bunch of live tackling periods in their training camps. So I do wonder if maybe coming off a season where, you know, you did wilt in the fourth quarter a number of times, right? And you did have issues throughout the season when it came to tackling and things like that. I do wonder if Jonathan Gannon takes the opportunity to say, hey, let's get these young guys up to speed a little bit, if we can, when it comes to contact, speed of the game. You're never going to be trying to injure your fellow teammate. Of course, you're still practicing good technique, wrapping up, etc. But man, it does feel like a good opportunity for LaFleur to maybe integrate a few more sessions. And I'm not, like I said, expecting anything drastic here. But it does feel like a good opportunity to perhaps utilize it a little bit more as a tool. Mostly because I was reading, you know, an interview with Gannon from last season as the head coach of the Cardinals, and he was lamenting how few practices, you know, they have in pads during the season because of the CBA, and how he essentially reinforced what I've said forever, which is in the NFL, it's too late to teach tackling. You have to arrive as a tackler because there isn't enough time on task in practice sessions where you're allowed to tackle, right? You can reinforce technique only up to a point, but at the end of the day, you've got to be able to tackle. So again, I just wonder if this is perhaps an opportunity for LaFleur to mix things up just a slight bit, especially, again, just with the younger guys. And again, I understand and I know the response already works smarter, not harder. You know, they're trying to lessen injuries, and they've done a good job throughout LaFleur's tenure as far as arriving to week one of the regular season, mostly in a good spot when it comes to injuries. But I'll also say, you know, they did all that last year, right? Last summer, did a great job of limiting what the injury situation was, only to fall apart with injuries at the end of the year. Like, injuries are going to happen. The injury rate in the NFL is 100%. And there is a case to be made, and I know some defensive coaches have started to talk about this, about how somehow the NFL is seemingly overcorrected, and getting back to a bit more contact in practice may help callus these guys up and get them ready to play football for a long stretch of time in the regular season and into the postseason. You know, I think we're kind of early days there because they've got to collect the data to try and maybe swing things back when the next CBA negotiations come around. But I think there's a case to be made. And I think, you know, it's not the world's worst idea. Again, just with the younger players, guys who are still kind of growing and developing in the league, get them a few more live sessions. I understand you want to mitigate the injury risk as much as possible, but you also want these guys to become really good fucking football players. And the best way to do that is to play some football. That's just my old man soapbox for the day. Came in after vacation all hot here. Your mileage may vary. Totally understand. It's probably not the most popular opinion. And again, I'm zero doubt that LaFleur is probably not going to acquiesce this way. Look, guys, when I come in with a question as the headline, will LaFleur turn to more live work in camp? This is easily answered, right? It's probably not, or just a hard no, he won't. But I'm trying to avoid, you know, name the top five Packers born on a Tuesday type content here in July, or soon to be July. So just trying to talk some football with you guys, you know? It's what we try to do here at Cheesehead TV. Good to see you all. Hello, everybody in the comments section. Thank you so much for being here. Brian's here. Dennis is here, of course. What's up, Dennis? Jim, how are you doing, man? Good to see you all. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. If you need Packers tickets, don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the ticketing link in the description of this video or at cheeseheadtv.com. Also want to say, please, if you are at this time, you know, you're out there on the links, you've got your golf game going this summer, and you're feeling a little pain, you're feeling a little something. You gotta get it looked at. You gotta make sure you visit our friends at ThetaCare. Because, you know, injuries happen, but the ThetaCare orthopedic care helps you recover like a pro. From sprains to surgeries, they'll keep you moving. Don't let pain sideline you. Learn more at ThetaCare.org. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for you to take the wheel. How we doing? Brian's starting us off. Thanks for the super chat, man. I'm not giving up on Musgrave. Love Kraft, but I still think he has value on this team. I know he's been injured, but hasn't been utilized effectively. Brian, I think that's a pretty decent observation there, and I very much agree. I don't know if you're responding or reacting to the conversation I had with Mark Oldacres earlier this afternoon, which is up now on the channel, but we talked about Musgrave as a possible bounce-back candidate. You know, Mark made a great point. If you go back to his rookie year, his first, like, 5-6 games in the league, he was on pace to a really productive rookie season. Then he gets hurt. Kraft ascends, and the rest is kind of history. And those first two seasons in particular, it was really tough just because Musgrave couldn't stay on the field, right? Now, I think that last part is obviously the most important. It's how he's utilized, because we saw them try, I would say, when after Kraft went down last year, almost kind of attempted a one-for-one swap, and we all saw it was not very successful. It's not leaning into Musgrave's strengths as a player. But I do think as a complementary piece, and certainly, you know, running him from the slot or even splitting him out wide, using him more as a receiving threat, he can still do some really nice things on offense, and he can exploit certain types of defenses. So Yeah, man, I agree with you. I think he has value. I'm not expecting the world. I don't think he's going to come in and, you know, put up some all-pro type season, but he can certainly still help the Packers win football games. There, I am very much in agreement with you, man. Grimpy, what's up? Nags, there's an old saying, things can always be worse, as you see situation with Lions, Arnold, and Brandon Jacobs. Well, the Jacobs thing's gone really quiet, right? So we'll see. I know it's a dark subject, but there has been precious little information since he was released from jail, right? And the DA put out the press release. But this Arnold thing is crazy. To see him released today, not a surprise. And before anyone asks, no, the Packers shouldn't pick him up. But yeah, man, it's hard when the real world intrudes on our football bubble, right? But the Arnold thing is wild. That whole story is just crazy to me. But hey, man, thank goodness it's not our headache, right? The Lions certainly dealt with it today by releasing him, though. Jeff Jones, what's up, man? If we don't win the division, if they don't win the division, they can still go on a huge run and maybe even win a Super Bowl, as they did in 2010. But should they win the division? 1,000,000,000%. It is time to get back to owning the North. It is ridiculous that they haven't in the last X number of years. They were in line to do so last year until it fell apart, obviously, there in Denver. But they were on their way to winning the division last season prior to half the roster getting blown up by injury. So I give them a little grace for 2025, but 2026, 100% they should win the North without question. Oh, thank you so much. Cheesehead TV is the GOAT. Thank you, Titletown Satoshi. Really appreciate it. Thanks for checking out the stream, man. Joe, how you doing? I just want Jaeger Burton to be the next TJ Lang before and after the whistle. No more Bears taking repeated illegal hits at Jordan Love. That's all. I don't know if you saw TJ posted a great clip from an old Packers Cowboys game at Lambeau where he got into it, let's say, with a couple Cowboys post whistle. It was funny because my thought I had in my head when I was looking at it was like, yeah, we needed a little bit of this when they were bouncing Jordan Love's head off the turf in Denver. You know, I 100% need a bit more of that attitude. Absolutely on point. She said, Joey, thanks for the super chat, man. Screw AIS. Sad to hear about CJ2K. Oh, ALS. Sorry. CJ2K. So fun to watch. Yeah, man, that is stark news this morning. Chris Johnson interview with, I believe it was Good Morning America. I'm sure most of you saw it, announcing that he is suffering from ALS. That is tough, man. Lou Gehrig's disease, that is commonly known. Hard message stuff to hear. Clearly pulling for him, hoping for nothing but the best for him and his family. But yeah, man, that's tough. Again, real life intruding in our little football bubble here. Max, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Really appreciate you, man. Outside the box question, if you could set the exact weather conditions for an NFC Championship game at Lambeau for this team, what would they be? 4 o'clock kick on the East Coast, obviously 3 o'clock Lambeau time, 3:25, whatever. Sun going down, right? So it'd be dark for the second half and hovering around 35 degrees. That's like maybe a smattering of snow, just but not a blizzard, right? That's what I want. I do think this team would maybe not dominate, but certainly thrive in those conditions. I've said it before. If you look at the games where the Packers under Jordan Love have played in like freezing conditions, even let alone just cold weather, he can throw the ball regardless. Like he has the arm and the ability to push the ball downfield, crossfield, far hash throws. Doesn't matter. He can make the throws. And that is a huge key, right, to being able to operate a modern NFL offense when it is freezing, when it is cold as hell, whatever. Like, Jordan can do it. So as long as the line holds up, I like our chances. But I do think you know, ultimate perfect temp would be around 35. That's where I'm at. People talking about a Devontae Wyatt resurgence. It's interesting because I don't know that he needs to have a resurgence so much as just stay on the field. He's been productive when he's been healthy. He just has not been able to stay healthy. You know, that's a common theme for a lot of guys in the league, but man, his level of play is excellent. You saw, especially last year, his work with Micah Parsons, some of the stunts and games they play up front, really productive. Their defense as a whole, both phases, against the pass and the run, so much better when he's out there. But he's got to be out there, man. Such a huge component. What else we got here, folks? I don't want to miss anything. Sorry, I don't make sure I don't miss your chats. Here we go. TJ untying those shoelaces in Detroit. Priceless. What a call, man. That's an old school pull right there. What else we got? Lieutenant Dan, I hear you, man. We have enough legal woes. This isn't the longest yard, Lieutenant Dan. Dan, I'll remind you that this is far cry from the Packers of the 80s. I mean, I'm sure you recall. That was a dark time to be a Packers fan, with the Mossy Cades of the world, the James Lofton situation. That was a tough time, man. I don't ever, ever want it to get back to that. That is for damn sure. What else we got here? Oh, no. We got people talking about the kicker. Let's not talk about the kicker. We got until a month from now until we even need to worry about the kicker. Like, it's a month until camp starts, and then we'll be getting daily updates about training camp. I'll be there to witness it. So we don't need to belabor the kicker thing here right now on June. What is it? 29th? June 29th? No, we wait till July 29th. Then we can talk about the kicker. Soder, I feel this. Would be happy if Burton was the next Lindsley. I mean, that is heady company, right? But, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I talked about someone saying he could be the next Lucas Patrick. I said I thought he could be a lot better than Lucas Patrick. Now, can he be Lindsley good? Whew. Like I said, that's rarefied air. But, you know, the upside is there. He's certainly got the ability. I think it depends, obviously, on the young man himself and how he develops. But I think the talent's there. I think that's the ceiling. Now, if he reaches it or not, that's, you know, to be determined. And that would be great for the Packers. But that's a lofty goal. Lofty goal. Jerry, what's up, man? Not even I can help Terry and Arnold. Well, I don't think many people can. Although I did see he hired a veteran lawyer who's helped, you know, a lot of NFL players over the years. So I like it. Joe, I think Lieutenant Dan's head exploded when Andy Herman put Keyshawn Nixon on his underrated players list. I mean, if you want to go to the letter of the, you know, the definition of the word underrated, yeah, I think that's correct. I think Keyshawn's underrated by Packers fans, such as Lieutenant Dan and others, because, you know, there's lots of good tape out there. Packers fans don't want to hear it because of the completions that he's allowed, the penalties he's accrued, certainly the third down stuff, touchdowns given up. I understand that. But he's also made a number of nice plays, a number of really good plays, and was steadily improving as a perimeter corner up until about the Denver game last year. You know, that I get it's what have you done for me lately, but for the amount of hate he gets, and God damn, you guys give him a lot of hate. He's a better player than that. But again, I know how the internet works, and that's just the way that's going to be until he gets back out on the field and tries to prove everybody wrong. Soder, what's up? Never too early to panic about special teams. I mean, if you're a Packers fan, it's kind of just bred into it, right? It's part of the gig. So I get it. Yeah, you're not wrong, Soder. Jerry, I would take Nixon over Ladarius Gunter any day. Yeah, you know, we've talked about it. Gunter placed in a really bad spot. But, you know, that's not dissimilar as far as Nixon is a great, I'm not even going to say rotational piece. He is a good starting corner in the NFL. He's had some real bad moments that have augmented how, you know, Packers fans feel about him. But yeah, he's way better than most fans give him credit for. I'll give him that. Now, this is fine. Now, this I totally get. Nixon runs his mouth too damn much and doesn't back it up. That is my problem. Dan, I very much understand what you're saying here. Like, you can talk the talk, but then you better walk the walk, right? And when you don't, and when you're costing your team, yeah, that gets frustrating. And that's why I get it. I understand why Packers fans get in their feelings, so to speak, right? Like, there's no reason for a lot of it, too. Like, the thing you say that, and the first thing that pops into my mind is he had a kick return, the opening kickoff against the Lions. Was it 2 years ago in Lambeau? It was a Thursday nighter. And he got a penalty on the return on the sideline because he was yapping at some Lions players and staff or whatever. It's like, dog, don't hurt your team for inconsequential bullshit, too. Or look at the playoff game, jumping on the pile, right? Or how many times did you have third downs last year where it looks like the Packers are off the field, but there's a penalty by Keyshawn? You know, it's just aggravating, and I get that. But that doesn't change the successful plays, right? That doesn't change the plays where he, you know, does his job, does it well, goes back to the huddle, but no one notices because that's the life of a corner. Sometimes. So yeah, Dan, like I said, I can't fault you, man. I completely understand the frustration. I hear you, Dan. I hear you. Joe, what's so, this is so perfect because I had this exact thought when I read this on Twitter. Joe says, Grant and Peter Bukowski arguing on Twitter over Dairy Queen and Culver's is where we are at in the offseason. 100% correct. That's where we're at. That's why I'm trying to, like, you know, come up with hooks like, you know, will LaFleur turn to more live work in camp, even knowing that the answer is probably not. Because, you know, otherwise you're talking about Culver's versus Dairy Queen, which is fine. Like, go ahead. But that's where we're at in the offseason, you know? Just get me to training camp. That's all I ask. All I ask. All right, everybody, I'm gonna have to get going. Oh, wait, Brody's got a super chat right at the end here. Is this the most diverse Green Bay team? It's 20-0 or 0-17? Well, that's an interesting question, man. I'll tell you this. I understand why Packers fans may be trepidatious heading into the 2026 season. Certainly the curveball of the Jacobs news this offseason put, you know, a bit of a record scratch into what was, I thought, a pretty good groove going throughout the offseason. But I do think the Packers are, I'm not going to say a ton, but a bit better than some Packers fans are giving them credit for. And I understand it's sometimes kind of doom and gloom and you see headlines and teams making moves and all this stuff. Packers didn't exactly make a bunch of splash moves, though I think they did what they needed to do this offseason, etc. Not every transaction can be trading for Micah Parsons, right? But this is still a really talented football team that has a ton, and I mean a boatload, of continuity on offense, which is going to help them as they find, get a foothold, etc. on defense, right? But yes, this team is way closer to going on a run, winning a championship, than they are falling apart and, like, you know, finishing last in the division. Now, obviously, huge injuries, etc. So shit happens, and that can change. But as they are situated right now in the collection of talent that they've put together, coaching staff, schemes, etc., this is still a team that should, A, win the division, and B, go on a run and compete for a Super Bowl. Don't lose sight of that. Even despite feelings and things other teams are doing, etc., the Packers are going to be good. The Packers are going to be really good. They have a chance to be great. But that's the work that starts a month from today. All right, folks, going to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.